This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
And now, wearing his alternate uniform, Todd Lebo.
Right you are, K-Dog, Curtis. I am Todd Lebo, Sirin Petro. I don't know exactly where he is right now. I saw him this morning, though. I think he's driving already. He's going on a vacation. Mm-hmm. And I told him, smile. I want you to enjoy this vacation. I said, smile. If anything happens and it's just not perfect, it's no big deal. You're on vacation. Just smile.
Just smile.
And he punched me, and he ran away. No, he didn't. Sirin is off today, and he'll be off next week as well. But we will be here bringing it to you as we do each and every day on the program. It is it's Friday. Thank you very much. Excited about it being Friday. And I didn't drive to St. Joseph this morning.
That was even better.
It was even better.
That's Friday.
I'll tell you this. Here's the deal.
It's Friday that you didn't have to drive up and back from St. Joseph.
It's a tie. It's a tie.
Tied.
It's a tie. I like going to Chiefs camp. And it's not real far, but I don't really like the driving all
being
the way
at
up
Chiefs
there.
Camp and driving to Chiefs camp are
different things.
Are two different assessments, I think.
Yeah. And then driving back down here. We did a little carpool up there on Thursday, though, because Paige went to do some video and Darren mm-hmm. Smith went, and we met at the Quick Trip in Platte City to save some gas.
The last Quick Trip. Between there and St. Joe, because there isn't one in St. Joe.
No, there's not. It turns into Trex and
yes,
and something else. I can't remember what it's called.
It's one of the reasons I wouldn't want to live in St. Joe.
But we met there, and then we left some cars, and I drove the rest away, we say. But yesterday I was alone, so I just, me and my thoughts, just driving up there and back.
Did you bring me back any cherry mash? They're made there.
They are made there. The cherry mash
is made
there.
Are they
better
when they're fresh?
Oh, right out of the chute.
Yeah.
That's where you want them.
Just straight off the end of the conveyor belt.
I'm not a big
cherry
candy guy.
I really don't know
but I know people
fresh
love
fresh makes
those.
Much of a difference when it comes to something like that. But it might.
Thinking they're well preserved.
I like cherries in my old fashioned, and that's about it.
Cherry and chocolate don't work for me.
But people love them. The cherry mashes, or my dad loves those chocolate covered cordials. Right?
See, I hate those. But I worked as a soda jerk at one of the last running soda fountains in a pharmacy in Kansas mm-hmm. When I was in high school. And the lady there swore up and down on cherry mashes, and she was rather old. And I said, all right, fine, I'll give it a shot. Smart decision on my part.
Yeah.
I bet if you put them in vanilla ice cream, that'd be pretty good.
Oh,
it'd be
sure.
Like, it'd be like cherry Garcia.
There
I mean, I like that, but just a chocolate-covered cherry stuff.
You want to have
cordials,
your...
those things are just... God awful.
What cherry are those
for your drink? You get the Luxardo cherries.
Is that what it is?
Queen Anne's, are they the chocolate, the real popular fancy chocolate covered that people give away at Christmas?
It could be. My dad loves those, and like that's the thing. Like you want to get him one other little thing for Christmas, you get him a box of those chocolate cherries, and he loves it.
Are we doing this?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
I'm okay with it.
Hey, here's the deal. It's Friday, man.
It is, man.
All right, look, the Chiefs have camp. We're going to hear from Andy Reid. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes.
We got 4 hours. We can talk about
food.
I don't mind talking about
food. Let's say what's happening on this radio show first. David Lesky will join us here in the next segment. We'll talk some Royals. Dude, last night, Brady Singer was everything you ever wanted out of him. That wasn't against the Baltimore Orioles or anything. That was like 40,000 people and the best team in baseball, and he was awesome last night.
Have you seen? I was busy on Baseball References Stathead last night. Some of the things that came out of that performance.
Mm-mm.
Pretty amazing.
Give them to me.
Here's the list of Royals starting pitchers to go 7 scoreless, allowing just 1 hit at Yankee Stadium. Ready for the list?
Brady Singer. That's it? It's not Eduardo Villasiz?
That is it. Starting pitchers to go 7 scoreless with 10 Ks at Yankee Stadium, Tom Gordon in 91 and Brady Singer last night. Mm.
Can we keep in mind... Sorry, Curtis.
How about this? Starting pitchers for any team...
Any team.
...to go 7 scoreless, allowing 1 hit with 10 Ks at Yankee Stadium.
Is it just Brady Singer?
Ray Culp and Luis Tiant in 68, Bartolo Colon in 2000, Chris Sale in 2018... Brady Singer last night, and
in
one
Royals
final
fashion, they lost.
Yes, so. those are the positives. The negatives is before last night, 21 road teams had gotten seven scoreless on one hit from their starter at Yankee Stadium. Those teams, 21-0.
Of course. Every Royals stat goes that way.
If there's something and I'm sorry I interrupted you earlier, Curtis. I was just so excited to share this.
That is kind of a you thing, though.
Yes, I know. I get very excited to say, to basically get attention. But
we're on this to get attention.
We should keep in mind that this wasn't against like a year where the Yankees were struggling. This was against a Yankees team that's going for the 98 Yankees. I mean, this is a really good Yankees team.
And unfortunately, I mean, one, the Royals just don't score. And I mean, it's the third time in their history. They've been shut out three straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And
really, you know, one bad pitch.
When you have no
and there you
no
go.
Margin for error, and Scott Barlow threw a pitch in the strike zone, mm-hmm. and a lot of pitches in the strike zone get mashed by Aaron Judge right now.
Yeah,
as soon as you saw a pitch, he's like, well, yeah, 95, thigh high. He knew he was going to crush it. And if he hits it, it's going out.
Yeah, and that wasn't a cheap one.
No, it wasn't a cheapie. No, that was 430.
Little blooper.
430 plus, but.
Would it dong? Yes, everywhere.
But you know, I'll take the result from last night over a 5-2 win behind Zach Greinke.
Right, absolutely. This was good news for Reddy Singer.
The Royals got everything they needed to get out of last night's game, and that was a guy who was hoped to be a top-shelf starting pitcher for them moving forward, backed up his best performance ever with an even better one against a better team. I think that was a fantastic development last night for the Royals.
Yeah, we'll talk much more Royals with David Leske. And, you know, you were talking about the three games without scoring, and I was sitting there watching the game last night, and they mentioned, yeah, the last run that scored, and I'm just like, oh, I was there. I was working on Monday night, and it was MJ Melendez with that home run that
amazing.
It's like, that's been a bit. I've driven to St. Joe twice since then, and now we're here. And they still haven't scored. That's a long stretch of not scoring.
I crushed
and it's no
their
big
groove,
deal
though.
Not
it was,
scoring
it's my fault.
Last night. It was the not scoring for two straight games against the Angels is a problem.
No, it's my fault because Tuesday night I was there and it was 2-0 and I went downstairs to go get some like authentic ballpark nachos,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't had in a while. I'm on my way up. They've just loaded the bases with one out. I get off the elevator as they're making the pitching change. And I pass on the way my friend and former coach, Dick Schmidt, mm-hmm. works there. I say, hey, coach. I saw him. Because he always remarks, you know, they're not good when you're here. I says, yes, I know. They won the first game I was there, and they haven't won since. And I got there. I said, coach, I got back just in time to kill this rally.
Bam.
And he laughed and grounded to first, forced the plate, pop up, end of. I said, I told you. And they haven't scored since.
Yeah, they haven't. They haven't.
It's all on me.
Not good. They'll try again tonight. We'll talk Royals with David Leske coming up at 2:20-ish whenever we take a break.
Ish.
Danny Klinkscale will be unleashed upon us.
You will.
In the 3 o'clock hour. We'll go around the nation with the drill. We're going to New York, Baltimore, Denver, Los Angeles. We will talk to Adam Teicher in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll, of course, tell you what you need to know as well. Bonnie Jill Laughlin Show comes your way tonight at 6. And I know she got some good guests lined up. Dick Vermeil is going to be on there. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Tom Glavine as well. So that'll be fun. And then we've got it's kind of a chill weekend. We're just out of practice. We've got Sporting KC mm-hmm. playing Saturday night. It's rough. That was a rough one on Wednesday night. And Austin is playing well. Things aren't going well right now for Sporting. But we have the media game at halftime. And I signed up to play in the media game.
Yes,
I don't know why.
You did. That was.
But I did. Marco,
incredible decision,
is playing, and he was trying to keep that a secret. But I let Steven know that Marco was playing. So Marco's been instructed what he's supposed to do to represent the Border Patrol. Davey B is also playing on our team. We've got Haley Lewis from 41 on our team as well. Nick Vassos is on our team. And among others, the teams are spread out with different folks. I think the Channel 9 people on the other team.
Ah.
I think they're on the other team. But there are some 41s on both sides. It'll be fun. And we have some Channel 9 on ours, too. I think there are some of each. It'll be a fun night. And I haven't played in an actual full-field media game since Community America Ballpark the year before they opened the stadium.
Wow.
So that was 11
yeah.
or 10. So it's been a bit.
11?
Yeah. They opened it up in 11.
Like 10.
And they didn't have any home games until then. So I think 2010, that was Community America's last time I played in a game. And that
You're
was,
older than
that
you
was
were then.
That was sort of full field, but not really because it was a baseball field and it wasn't quite. So this is a legitimate pitch, and we'll see how this goes.
Do they have to take out seats?
Yeah, just to get this in. They want
the media game
even larger. They want this to be as big as it can be.
Put them right back in.
And I look, the weather's not a billion degrees, so that's good. I'm excited. It's excited, but I will not be making a long run down the side to go do anything. I will be doing my best to not get hurt, and hopefully Sporting will get a win because we don't like Austin.
You won't be alone in that regard.
There are plenty of people who will be yes. trying and running hard because they're younger and stronger and faster than me. But I know my place. But that's happening
that's
on Saturday night.
Know your limitations.
That's the key in life.
I know mine. That's why I'm sitting here.
It honestly is the key in life. All right, so let's talk a little Chiefs. We will also give away two pair of tickets at some point during the show. Stay tuned to the 100-year anniversary party coming up on the 11th. That will happen as well. All right, let's talk some Chiefs here. We heard from the big dogs today. We had the chairman. We had the head coach. We had the quarterback. That's a pretty big day up there on a Friday. Let's hear first from Andy Reid. The news broke yesterday during practice that Carlos Dunlap was going to be signed by the Chiefs. And, of course, it wasn't official. So yeah. when we asked Spags about it, he was like, bah, I don't know what
and
to say. Pen to paper.
Herbie kind of forced him into it.
I saw him. I don't know. It was kind of fun. It's official now.
If I was going to talk about him.
If you knew a guy who was a lot like him, what would you say about him? But today it's all official. And Andy Reid said that Carlos Dunlap is going to bring a lot to the Chiefs.
So he's very smart, and he's been around. Obviously, he's seen a lot, and kind of knows what he's looking for. He's visited a couple different teams, but I think he liked what he saw, and we liked what we saw, so signed him up.
Similar to Melvin Ingram, what does he bring to that room?
Yeah. So, well, you have the experience. Now he and Chris work out at the same place, so they know each other. And so there'll be a familiar face when he comes in, at least. But he brings some senior leadership in there and experience.
So Dunlap is not here yet. He's excused right now. He's at a funeral, correct?
Yeah,
so,
father.
Yeah, and he'll be here, but he'll have plenty of time. This guy's a vet. He'll get himself in shape. And he kind of, you know, he and Chris Jones know each other. Chris was talking about him a little bit yesterday. He was a little more open to talk about him.
Yeah, and
he wasn't scared.
Generally open to talk about anything.
Of what to say. But this is a good player who they don't need. They don't need to sign someone up for a 7-year deal.
No.
They're in their championship window, and they need people like Terrell Suggs a couple years ago, Melvin Ingram last year, Carlos Dunlap this year.
And he certainly fits the profile of a Steve Spagnuolo defensive lineman. I mean, that whole the NASCAR
long,
pack. Yes, 6'6", 285.
Someone like a Carlos Dunlap, as
he
was saying.
Yeah, he's a prototype. So I think he'll fit right into the scheme. He was very productive last year for a guy who didn't start much, particularly at the end of the year. So as we said yesterday, you know, teams rarely get a lot of their pass rush from one guy. There aren't many teams that have a 15-sack guy. Most teams, even teams that are good pass rush teams, get it from a group of guys. It's a collection of sixes and sevens and eights, and I think they've just added another guy.
Last week
so
it was
you don't
twos
have to,
and threes.
You won't need quite as much from Frank Clark or from George Karloftis or from anybody else in that spot. So I think it's a great signing.
Good signing for the Chiefs, and he will be there when he's ready to go. And pads will come on Monday, so it'll change a little bit, a little up it. It's not like 1965 training camp. They're not going to be really up in the contact, but it'll be more than what you've seen out there so far. Okay, you know, we're not getting any more new information regarding Orlando Brown Jr. I'm not holding my breath that he's going to get anywhere near St. Joseph, Missouri this year. And Andy, you know, when we talked about it the other day, you talk about, you know, Tooney played the game. He's like, we're not getting there yet. We're not doing that. In the meantime, they've got this Roderick Johnson playing. And coach today talked about what he likes about Roderick Johnson playing left tackle.
I like Roderick. He doesn't say much. I mean, you don't want him in the tent here. You're not going to hear much. So, but he's a good, solid player. You know, I mean, we're not set. You know, we saw the Orlando thing out there, and all, but if you can go play with Roderick. I mean, he can jump in there and play the game. So that I like what I'm seeing. I look forward to seeing him in pads, but I, you know, he's got some experience, so I know what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he can jump in there. You can play the game with him.
That's high praise at this point with
it
what
is.
They're doing. They're not. He's not out there trying to say we don't need Orlando Brown. He's walking that line.
No, but I would not surprise me if we can play with him.
Yeah,
a strategic choice of words for Andy Reid.
Little thing. Not a big salvo. Like we don't need this guy. But hey,
he said they'd move him around. They move people around in that spot, and it's 3 days, three times in that
he's been
number one left tackle spot for Johnson. So
yeah, we don't want him in the tent though.
No, he doesn't say much.
Some of these guys we don't want in the tent. Maybe he'd be great in the tent. I don't know.
To which some people will go, and you do?
Yeah, well, Andy's been good these first 2 days this year.
He's been in a good mood.
He's told us all kinds of things.
He's lost some weight.
Some weight. You know, doing it. He's out there.
Like he said, he has more.
He sort of smiled at me.
I got more years behind me than I do ahead of me.
Right.
So.
Want to
make it last.
Well,
I think he'd like to be around for the end of for the duration of Patrick Mahomes' career. I'm sure
it'd be a long time to coach.
It would be, but I think he'd like to get
he's
as many years
to go.
Of
many
Pat
chances
as
you can. No doubt, but they'll have someone's going to play left tackle. I mean, that's what we know.
Yes,
right. The Royals have always had an opening day starter. They're not always an ace, but somebody starts opening day, and someone plays left tackle. They had a left tackle out there in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So someone's got to play. If this guy can play a little bit, they need to get that going because I am not scared that Orlando Brown's not playing football this year. I'm not scared of that yet, okay? But I don't know anymore. I kind of thought I knew what was happening, and I'm not going to guarantee that he's going to be here when they get back to town before the second preseason game or anything. But they got to be ready if he's not, and they also have to be ready if he gets hurt. I mean, you got to be ready. He hurt himself in warmups against the Bengals, and someone plays left tackle every play.
Yep.
So Roderick Johnson sounds like a nice guy to have around. All right, let's hear from the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, I don't know if you guys had heard this. Check the ticker. Tyreek Hill got traded.
What?
He's not on this team anymore.
When that happened?
And March?
He should February? He should do like a podcast.
He should talk about it. You know, it needs to be said.
It would
need, not it needed name. To be. It just needs to be said.
That'd be a good name for it.
It would be good. But Patrick was asked today a little bit about how this is going to, you know, after he's been asked answering questions about what it's going to be like without Tyreek Hill for months now. But now they've got everyone there going through some practices, what it's going to be like without having Tyreek around.
When you have a guy of Tyreek's caliber, a lot of times when you have those one-on-one matchups, you kind of say, forget the rest of the read. Let me just go to this guy. Whereas with the offense that we have now and the group of receivers that we have now, we have a lot of guys that are good and can make plays in individual routes. And so you kind of get through your progressions even more. I think it's special when you have an offensive coordinator like Eric Bieniemy, you have a head coach like Coach Reed, and all these great offensive minds on the offensive side of the ball that they're designing these plays. And I can go through my reads, and there's usually someone open on pretty much all of them.
It's a different thing for him, you know. Different people out there, you're doing a little bit differently. So things are going well so far up at camp. We'll see if that keeps going next week. Stephen St. John will be up there all next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the Stony Creek Inn,
Mr. St. Joe,
say hello. Go say hello. Say, hey, Stephen, what's going on?
He's Mr. St. Joe, isn't
he? Sure, he absolutely is.
If anybody here was Mr. St. Joe, it'd be Stephen.
Oh, it's him. He's been there more than any of us, that's for sure. And thank you for that. No, I'm kidding. I love St. Joseph. He stays up there, though. He's not driving back and forth.
Right.
It's not super close for me. All right, that's some Chiefs stuff. We'll talk much more Chiefs with Danny and throughout the show, but we're going to switch gears next, talk to David Leskey about those Royals.
He's taken Larry King to a Prince concert. He's eaten Dairy Queen while watching a Duke game.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
He's seen the Princess Bride with his friend Earl.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's safe to say he's obsessed with the Royals. From inside the crowd, it's David Leskey on the program.
It is David Leskey on the program. It's not Seren Petro. It's Todd Lebo in for Seren is on vacation. Curtis Seabolt is alongside. Adam Dravetta is here as well. David, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing great, buddy. And in the meantime, let's take care of a little business here. Brady Singer struck out 10 players last night at Yankee Stadium. Now they lost, so we're not going to do that. But caller number 10 is going to win a pair of tickets to our 100-year celebration on August 11th coming up. So caller number 10 right now. I'm not saying the phone number because if you don't know the number, we don't want you winning. Y'all know the number. Give Adam a call. Caller number 10 for Brady Singer. And then I could say you could get zero tickets for it because the Royals won zero games last night, David, because it's very Royals-like to to have Brady Singer look as good as he's looked and then not score a run for him. Let's talk Singer first. Let's talk good news first. Man, he really looks like he might be coming into what we thought he would be when the Royals drafted him.
Yeah, he's this is different. I mean, this is not – I think back to his rookie season, 2020, that first start against Cleveland. You could kind of see, okay, this guy's got a lot of movement. Slider looks like it'll be good. I don't know if he can get lefties out. You know, kind of all the issues that you worried about when he was drafted. And he went through the year and he was fine. And then he had a good start also against Cleveland where he almost no-hit them in September. I think that was during a Chiefs game. So like 12 people saw that, I believe. So then last year he came out and struggled and didn't make the rotation this year. Ended up in AAA last night and Saturday night too. That was different. It didn't feel like, and maybe it's just hope, but it didn't feel like the typical, well, he had a good game, let's see how bad it is next time. But you feel a lot with Royals pitching because there have been good games, right? I mean, it's not like he's the first guy to throw a good game for the Royals. This was yesterday was particularly special, but other pitchers have pitched well. It just the way he was pitching. I don't know if you saw Aaron Judge's comments after the game last night. He was really complimentary of Brady Singer. It feels like they might actually have something this time. Not to say he won't have a bad start, but it feels like they've got something.
That no other Royals pitcher had gone seven scoreless with one hit and 10 Ks at Yankee Stadium is not really that surprising. What was surprising to me is how few pitchers for any team had done that. He's the fifth ever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A lot of games have been played in New York, and that isn't just that stadium. That's at
all
the Yankees.
The stage, yeah.
Five guys ever.
But yeah, I mean, there's not even words to put into it because it's such a special experience that he had last night. But I think, not to discount yesterday, I think what's made it seem even better is it came on the heels of another really good start against the Rays. It's not just, oh, he turned it on in New York. No, he pitched against the Rays in Kansas City and struck out 12 in six innings. And he's done it against the White Sox. And he's done it against good teams this year. Say what you want about the White Sox. I think their offense is at least scary. I don't know if they're consistently good, but they can be. So it's scary. He's done it against offenses that you have to see. That's different. That's a very good feeling. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this, and I said, I think he's shown that he can be a three or a four. I may have undersold that. And I mean, it's not my fault. We hadn't really seen this yet. But if he can do this, doesn't have to be every start, but occasionally, you know, once every five starts, and also doesn't have to be 10 strikeouts and one hit. But if he can look like he has his last couple starts once a month, that's a different pitcher. That may be a 2-3 instead of a 3-4. So it's a very good development for the Royals.
My friend Jake last night, who's born a Yankee fan, now lives in KC, but he's a Yankee fan by birth, sent me this text just out of nowhere. Brady Singer has a little dog in him with a thumbs up. And I said, you know, there's no question about that. He's kind of always had a little bit of that, but early on I think it came off as kind of fake or forced, like he was trying to prove to everyone how much he cared. It doesn't really come off that way now, but I mean, is there a relationship between his approach to it and how well he's thrown, or are we just looking at that differently now because he is pitching well?
I mean, I think a lot of it is that he's pitching well because, you know, you can be cocky if you're good, but if you're good and cocky, you're just confident. If you're bad and cocky, you're arrogant.
Yeah.
So I think that plays a big role in it. But one of the things, he's throwing his changeup more, and that's helped him quite a bit. But I also think that there is something to be said for the way he handles adversity and pressure. And it's very different this season than last year. Now, he hasn't been great with runners on base. He has been great with runners in scoring position this season, which is a big difference. And I don't know how sustainable that part is, but it just doesn't feel like, and you can see it in the number of big innings he's allowed. Things don't seem to snowball on him. And I think that when that has stopped, I can't think of a time other than, was it that Astros series in Kansas City? I think he gave up 7 runs. And, like, that's a really good offense. I can't think of a time that it felt at all like last season with him. And I think that is mentality. And some of that, you have to have conviction in what you're doing and believe in yourself. And sometimes that may come off as cocky or arrogant or whatever word you want to put on it. But I think that allows him to execute in some ways. And, yeah, the perception of it probably it helps when he's pitching well. But it's a change in him that I think is realistic to be seeing, because it feels different watching him than it did last year.
Royals have made a roster move. Salvador Perez has been reinstated from the injured list. And who was it?
Emmanuel
Rivera has been optioned. Sometimes TweetDeck, in its current form, you're looking at something else, it just goes bye-bye. So that's why I paused. But yes, Emmanuel Rivera back to AAA. Salvi is back.
There we go. See that tonight.
Not surprised.
David, we're talking about David Leske here about the Royals, and you mentioned some more change-ups. This last couple of starts, what is the number of pitches coming out to? Is it appreciably more change-ups? They've been battling, wanting him to do this. Do they have enough data now that says you're doing this more and this is why this is working?
It hasn't been a ton more over the last couple of starts than it has been since he's been back. It's quite a few more this season. And if you listen to Mike Matheny after the games, he's saying that a lot of the sliders are actually changeups and they're just really moving. I don't completely buy that. I think that if his changeup is moving like a slider, he's probably not throwing it exceptionally well, but that it's working, so I guess who cares? I think the biggest thing, and when he went down to Omaha, one thing that I said was, if he doesn't have to have a good changeup, he just has to have a changeup, because he has to give hitters something different to think about. And I think that just the idea that he might throw it, he threw, what is it? Listed as 6 last night. So that's not very nice. He threw 10 on Saturday night. He threw, 9. To start before. So, no, it's not a lot, but it's more than he had been throwing.
More than 0, you mean?
Yeah, it turns out, yes, 6 is more than 0. that's your math lesson for the day. I'm
Allie
0.
The alligator prefers 6 hamburgers to 0.
Yeah.
But it puts something else in a hitter's mind. And really, this goes back to how truly simple but hard baseball is. You have pitching is about messing with timing and eye levels. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And if a hitter thinks that he could be seeing a changeup, and then he gets that sinker that just runs, he's in trouble. And that's part of why he gets so many called strikes. I mean, some of it's just the natural movement on that sinker. It moves from off the plate to on the plate, and it's ridiculous. I mean, when you can see movement that clearly just watching it live, there's movement there, because that's a hard view to see, and you can see how that ball just tails back over the plate on that left-handed batter's box. So that's part of it, but the changeup really helps quite a bit, and I think it helps the slider. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a good pitch. It has worked pretty well for him, but it doesn't have to be a good pitch. It just has to be a pitch he uses, and he's used it.
Yeah, it's been good. We'll see if that keeps going for him. David Leske is our guest here, talking some Royals from Inside the Crown and Royals Review. And let's talk about tonight's pitcher, Chris Bubich, because you know what? He's been really good the last couple of times as well. Are we seeing real development with him, or is it just circumstantial?
That's hard to say, because, you know, you watch him and the numbers are there. And since he's been back from Omaha, I think he's got a 3.76, 3.78 ERA, somewhere around there. His fielding independent pitching, the FIP is 4.14, I think. So that's solid. I mean, nobody thinks Chris Bubich is the ace of the staff or the number 2 or probably the number 3. But those numbers fit at the back of a rotation. He's getting about 17 outs per start since he's been back, which is not bad in today's game. But he's not striking guys out, and he's still walking guys. just he's not really giving up home runs. I don't know how sustainable it is, but at the same time, it's easy to look at him and think, well, it's about to implode. But in 2020 and 2021, he was a league average starter. And that's without having pitched above high A. People forget that a lot, I think, with Bubich, is he never got to the high minors because of the 2020 season. He was decent in 2020 and 2021, and then he had five bad starts to start 2022, and it feels like people have completely given up on him. But I think the overwhelming data says he's fine at the back of a rotation. Now, that's a guy you don't want to count on. I think that if you have a five-man rotation and Bubich is your fifth and you get offered, I don't know, Pablo Lopez, you're not going to say, well, we can't take Chris Bubich out of the rotation. But while he's in there, I think you feel okay about it. Now, this is a bad matchup for him in a bad stadium. So he might struggle a bit tonight. But overall, I like what we've seen from him a lot. It reminds me of what we saw when he was a league average starter for 2 years.
Yeah. We'll see if it goes. I mean, he's been just – what I've seen out of a lot of these young guys, too, that if they're just getting the ball and throwing it and not hemming and hawing around. You know, last night it was really easy for Singer to do that because things were going so well.
Sure.
But he seems to me, and I think Bubich as well, to not get too in their own heads when guys get on base. And that's got to help because, man, it's just like you put the brakes on with some of these young players when things don't go right. And you're like, man, you got to just pitch the ball and go and don't think it too much. And I think we're seeing some, I guess that's maturity out of him now.
Yeah, I think so. And to think about Bubich, let's put this the right way, more than Brady Singer, is that Bubich is a very cerebral pitcher. He went to Stanford and probably earned his way there, not just athletically. He's kind of Trevor Bauer-ish on them as far as pitching is concerned. No other way, as far as I know. But as far as pitching, he's kind of Trevor Bauer-ish in that he loves the analytics. He loves to mess with the data, figure out what works, try to change some things. And I think that can be a detriment on the mound at times. I remember back, I don't remember what year it was, when Salmon was still starting in the minors. And somebody told me, and I said, he just thinks too much out there. Because Josh Salmon, also a very, very smart pitcher, and they thought, I don't think he can stick as a starter because he just thinks too much and he has way too much time to think about what he's doing. And moving to the bullpen, and he obviously has excelled and become a really good major league pitcher there. I think that Chris Bubich has that problem sometimes, and it seems like he hasn't had that problem so much. It's not that you don't want to be thinking, it's that sometimes you just want to throw the baseball because you're very talented. You've gotten to this point based on being exceptionally good at your job, and that's what he needs to do. And I think when he's successful, that's what he does.
Yeah, for sure. You got to think, but you can't overthink. All right.
Yes.
So the Benintendi trade went down. Good reviews, I guess, for what the Royals were able to get out of a guy who they don't have a lot of control over. What are your thoughts about the haul for Benny?
Yeah, I was, listening to the reports, and you say, well, there's 13 teams in on him. Maybe it's a bigger deal than a typical rental gets, all this stuff. I had it in my head that it would be better. And so I was kind of underwhelmed at first. But then I started thinking about it. I even wrote this, and I put this in my article, that I wrote on June 3rd what I think Benintendi should get, and it was a 10 to 15, process in the 10 to 15 range of a team, and probably the back half of the top 30, the back third of the top 30. And what did they get? They got that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, I don't like this trade. No, that's stupid. This is what I said he should get. So, of course, I should think it's fine. And then, digging in a little bit on the players, I got a chance to talk to a scout about at least Sikkema and Way. There was nobody who had anything on Chandler Champlain. But there's some skepticism if either of those two headliners can start long term, but they don't think they can't. And Sikkema throws strikes. Beckway has a great slider. I mean, all this stuff that you look at, and for 2 months of a player, the rental market just isn't what it used to be. I mean, Chris Bryant, who is more of an impact player, or at least was last year, than Benintendi, brought back a borderline top 10 prospect, and I think it was the Giants' 30th ranked prospect. So I think this is kind of in line with that. And ultimately, it's going to depend a lot on what the Royals' development staff can do, which is a very scary thing to look for. But, you know, you have to grade the trade on what happened. And what they got, I think, were three very talented pitchers and two guys who I don't think are that far away. The scout I talked to said Sycamore could be up next year. Beckway could too, but he's got a little more work to do. But Sycamore could be good to go by this time next season. So that's a pretty quick mover. I'm excited to see them. I don't know, are they still sticking it for high A? I know I saw that Champlain got moved to high A already. Are they going to double A? Do we know that yet?
I haven't seen
nothing yet.
Okay.
That I've seen.
Okay. Well, either way, they should both be in double A. I think that they're too good for high A. So, JJ said yesterday that they're probably going to get promoted soon if they haven't yet. So, I don't know. I think it's a good move. I think it's a move that maybe because people were expecting something different, I think probably made people a little bit angry. But, you know, in the end, I think it was good value, and hopefully they can get the most out of those guys. And like I said, if two of them become quality major leaguers, it's a great trade. If one becomes a quality major leaguer, it's a fine trade. You know, it's the value is there. I think in the end we're going to look at that as a good trade.
And you mentioned the fact that rental players don't pull in as much as they used to, particularly when they don't hit the ball over or off the fence. And that's the thing. I think people in this town have fallen in love with the 390, whatever it was, on base percentage and the 320-something batting average, and failed to notice that counting last night, in his last 27 games, take a stab at how many extra base hits Andrew Benintendi had. Three.
That's pretty good guess. Three.
and all three were doubles. And what he does well is he gets on first base. Now, if you're the Yankees, you got guys like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and, you know, Anthony Rizzo,
they
who
didn't
can hit the ball over the wall.
Hitters, yeah.
Yeah, just play some good defensive left field and get on first, and it's fine.
And you want to be driven in.
But that's not going to – just because it works for them does not mean they're going to – they can find that guy in a lot of places. So I remember when the names first came out, there was a lot of Royals fans, at least in my mentions, like, really? That was all they got? Oh, my gosh. I'm like, what else – a guy whose slugging percentage is under 400,
right?
With a 320
batting
average.
He's a fine player. He's an all-star.
Yeah. What did he have? 18 extra base hits all year.
And that's gone downhill.
It has.
In the last 102 at bats.
Yeah, it's been fine.
Angel Rivera has that many, and he just got 10 down.
That's how it goes. David Leske's our guest. Time for the Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, up first, what time are you getting to Arrowhead for the George Strait concert tomorrow?
I will be there a quarter after, maybe never.
Okay. just testing to see if you're going. All right, is Bobby Witt ever going to be in the lineup again?
I mean, look, they're going to keep him out. Here's what's going to happen. I say this, I don't think the lineup is out yet.
I can
safely say this. What did you say?
I haven't seen it, so no.
Okay. He's going to get in there as a pinch hitter tonight or tomorrow. They're going to then set back his time, his clock on when he can be backdated, which they've already done because it has to go 3 days. They're going to keep him on the active roster for 3 days after that, and then finally put him on the injured list. He's going to miss the rest of the season. It won't be that long, but that's just the Royal way, right? I mean, they play with a short roster when they don't need to.
Yeah, there's no need to do that. All right, who is the next Royal to be traded?
Oh, that's a good question, because I think the most probable is Whit Merrifield. I don't know that he's necessarily next, because I think that I don't think we're going to see anything until like Sunday at this point, because they've traded their pending free agents. So I guess I'm going to go with Merrifield just because I think he's the likeliest, but I think they're going to move at least, I think it's going to be two more people moved, it's going to go down to the wire for them, I believe.
As an aside, did he see like four pitches last night? Every time I turned, I swung at the first pitch.
I think he saw two pitches and four at bats somehow.
Yeah, it was like he was even in the game. Maybe he thinks he's already traded.
Came to the plate.
It was a weird.
By the way, additional favorite George Strait song.
See, David doesn't know a song, I don't think.
I thought you
I couldn't tell you one.
No. I didn't know many. I had to look up a couple. I Crossed My Heart and
All My Exes
Amarillo by Morning.
I could sit here and stall and Google it and give you an answer, but I'm not going to lie.
Don't ever lie. That's what you never get from David Lesky. All right, so don't lie to me on this one. Last question here. Who's the worst team in baseball?
The Nationals, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's
it's not the Royals.
That's got to be it. No, the Royals, they're bottom eight. But, I mean, the Nationals, they can't win games, and they've got one of the best players in baseball for the next couple of days at least. I mean, that's a bad, bad team. They fell off. They fell off faster than the Royals.
I'll say this. I've been out there the last couple of Mondays for home games because that's my day to go out there and be out there. And they've won each of those games against teams who have better records than them. And I've looked at the other teams and going, why are the Royals worse record-wise than the Angels and the Tigers who have their face?
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense.
When you start 17-37,
it's tough to dig out of the hole. That's for sure.
It's impossible, and they've played much better baseball, but it doesn't matter anymore. They made it not matter.
That's right. Well, they don't score. You can't win if you don't score.
If you play 500 from that point, you lose 91 games.
Yeah, that's not great.
It just destroys you.
David, thanks so much for your time. And enjoy not going to the George Strait concert on Saturday, okay?
Oh, I will. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's David Lesky joining us each and every week on the program. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. Curtis Siebold alongside Adam Trevettis here. Emerson, the intern, listening?
Fittipaldi for the last time.
It's her last day.
Yes.
She's so engaged, she's TikToking right now. What are you doing over there?
Hop on the mic, Fittipaldi, you're up.
You're doing what?
I'm looking up internships for next year.
Oh, for next year? You're not even done with this one. You're looking up next year's internships.
I have to be on top of it.
Okay.
She's prepping for her sports center.
You got a sports center today?
Yeah.
Yep.
You got a soundbite in it?
With sound, yeah.
All right, that's what we want to hear, sound. If you want expert advice on how to do a sports center, I'm the guy.
Yes.
Who can tell you how to professionally put together a sports center, not mess up any of the copy or have
not
a
laugh.
Giggle fit. Never would I ever do that. We're having fun on this Friday. We've already given away a pair of tickets for the 8-10 celebration coming up. We'll do more of that later. Danny Klingscale, I saw roaming the hallways. He'll be in here next hour.
He's carrying a wrinkled paper bag. I'm kind of worried.
It could have a hairbrush in it.
Yeah,
you never know.
Could have a human foot in it.
You don't know. He's already unchained. Unleashed.
Because he's unchained, the song.
He doesn't like it, but we love it, and then we play it for him.
How does anyone not like that song?
Because it's Danny, man.
I don't get it, man.
So he's already unleashed because he's walking the halls here, and the drill's coming your way, and
it's
Adam Teicher. We'll be on at 5 o'clock. We'll talk some Chiefs camp. We'll hear some Chiefs stuff. I want to talk to Danny about some of the things we heard from Clark Hunt today up at camp because we've got some uniform talk. I know you love that, Curtis.
Yes,
you love
yes.
uniform talk. We've got World Cup talk with him as well and kind of stadium things, you know, what they're thinking about. Those are the kind of issues we'll
You've noticed
talk
my
to him about.
My attraction to uniform discussions.
I've never heard or seen you tweet or talk about it at all, ever. It's just not something that's
Uniforms,
important to you.
Uniforms, politics, music, never.
Never. None of those things.
Not at all.
Are on your list of stuff. And we'll break it all down with Adam Teicher. He's been up at camp the entire time. And up there. He's living it. He's in it up
he's
there.
He's in it to win it. By the way, you can have as many as... Almost as loud an argument over uniforms as you can over politics.
Sure you can.
Some people are dug in even more than I am.
God, you and Stan talk about it. Stan's a uniform guy too. Weber? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't like these funky uniforms these college kids are wearing in some of these schools, messing those things up. Very traditional like you on
same,
that. Yeah.
Same.
Didn't want to mess with it. Yeah, yesterday when I was up at camp in the morning, the nice lady had not put the coffee service out yet. And I got up there. And there was no coffee, but Adam had his little hotel coffee. I said, you didn't bring coffee for everyone. He said, I didn't know the coffee wasn't going to be out. The coffee was good, though. I had that at 12:30. It was a little past coffee time, but it was finally there. So
at some point, I'll like coffee.
Maybe not. I didn't like it.
I get a coffee every day before the show.
I didn't like it till really that I stopped drinking pop. Which has been 2.5 years now.
I still drink soda, and I love coffee. Is a really good, nice, expensive cup of coffee is an all-time favorite luxury of mine.
I go cheap. Cheap. I'm an old man. You know what I do on Saturday mornings? I go have coffee with my friends.
And look at the birds?
It's been like, we've been doing that for like 8 or 10 years now. And sometimes two people, sometimes six people, sometimes whatever. And, you know, sometimes at the grocery store, sometimes at a coffee shop, sometimes at McDonald's. And that's kind of when I started having a little coffee. And I would just have it like once a week on Saturday. And then, but then when I stopped having the soda, then I started having like a coffee every day coming in the morning. But I don't need it at like 5:30 in the morning when I get up. It's like I come to work because I don't need to buy the expensive coffees. I just come get the Folgers out of our little bucket in
there.
There
you go.
And Marco better damn well have it made when I get in here.
It's part of his gig. He has to make the coffee.
Yeah, it is part of his gig. He better make the coffee, especially like the days when like someone's on vacation and I come in, and he gets here a smidge before me, but that coffee better be percolating, or I'll just make it. It's not really that big a deal.
No one wants to see you without your coffee.
No, well, actually, it's not that big a deal. I made it all the way through practice yesterday without my coffee, but I did make a mistake and I didn't hit the connect button. So maybe let's blame that on the coffee.
You finally found something to blame that on. I like it.
Yeah.
Resourceful.
I take responsibility for me making that mistake.
Do.
My fault.
My bad.
It's my bad. It's me.
People always say my bad when it was so clearly their mistake.
Yeah, that was 100% my mistake.
Yeah,
sometimes
I know
it's not your mistake with the electronic stuff. That's my mistake. Mm-hmm. That's my mistake. But we'll see. No more mistakes now. We got the whole thing figured out. Danny Klinkscale coming up next. Still to come, we got the drill and Adam Teicher on this Friday on the program.
All right, Aaron Judge hit his third walk-off homer of the season last night. Who was the last Royal to hit two in a season? Brought to you by Good Sense. Checking it out here.